for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday evening, June the 30th, 1997. Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris of Beckville, Texas, is the speaker of the evening. I don't know, well, I know all of you aren't aware, if many of you are, that Colonel Speed Wilson and Jack Harris are America's two most decorated military men of America, World War II, Vietnam, and Korea. And these two men who are we honored to be on our board are America's two most decorated men of American military men. And so I appreciate them coming and putting their time in and being a blessing to you. They're a blessing to us, and I know that they're a blessing to you. Jack, come and minister the word of the Lord here to us tonight.
Somebody will have to adjust me, won't they?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, I never did like one of these things much. I came up through the old school of evangelists where you used to take one in your hand. You get used to that, and hey, you can't preach without it after that. It took me a long time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Steve. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad to be here tonight, and my, what a beautiful crowd this is. Some of you I don't believe I've seen before. But I'll tell you this, if we love each other in God, if we love God more than everything else and each other in God, we'll never meet for the last time.
Right.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I have enjoyed being working with Glenn and Irma and Colonel Speed Wilson, Dr. Null, and their son on the board. And I appreciate the way that they do things around here. I have often said that if Glenn don't want to run this thing, I'd like to get him to run my personal business. I could just go on and don't worry about that, because he's more conservative than I am. He may be about like I was looking at my garden the other day, and I plow. My dad-in-law, for a long time, he had a garden, and he had a chair out there by the garden. And I thought that was strange for a lot of years, and now I've got a chair out there. And I was working that garden, and I stopped to look at it, and we didn't get no rain. It stayed cold till the first of June, then it rained. It rained every day right up to then. When it quit raining, it was too late to get some of the plants that I put out. But I had managed to get some sick-looking ones and thought I'd nurse them back to health. And it just worked about halfway out. And I sat there and looked at that garden, and I said to myself, this is the sorriest garden you ever had, Chuck. Then I thought a minute, and I said, well, I believe I'll correct that. This is the sorriest garden that anybody ever had. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But, of course, it don't make all that much difference whether it's good or not. I'm not dependent on it. Hallelujah. But I do like to see it grow. You know, I do.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, thank God forever. Well, we've got a great big mixture in religious activity all over the world tonight, especially in this great country. And God has to raise up somebody that knows how to separate the vile from the precious from the vile. But I'm not afraid about that, for I know he's working on it.
Amen.
I'm persuaded that he'll complete it in due process of time. I just love to come here. I love to preach to a people that are hungry and I've been doing this a long time. I'll take just a minute and tell you how I started doing this. You know, now they go to school a long time, and then they practice in front of the mirror, and I didn't get to do any of those things. I just had been reclaimed by the Lord. I had been saved when I was a child. I went in the war real young, and came out and got reclaimed, and I just started to doing a little. I thought, felt like I ought to do something for the Lord, as big and stout as I was, and, you know, and I so I sang and played the guitar and sang. My wife sang with me, and anybody else that dare try. And radio broadcast. But I believe that's getting I wouldn't call myself a preacher at all, no. And I never hadn't quite decided whether I wanted to ever do that or not. But at the most, I'd be a gentleman preacher. You know, that's the one that preaches just when he wants to and does something else rest of time. And I was having lunch with a preacher friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, and we run into another preacher that was his friend, but he didn't know me, and I didn't know him. We had lunch together, and he got ready to depart, and he said, "Well, Brother Harrison, I guess you're a minister, too." And before I could tell him no, my preacher friend said, "Yes, sir."
Yes.
And so he said, "Well, I pastor a church over here just a few miles from where we were. And we have a weeknight service on Friday night." And this was long about Wednesday. And said, "I sure would be glad if you'd come over and preach for us Friday night, this coming Friday night." So I said, "Well, I'd be glad to." And we went ahead and had lunch, and me and this other preacher separated, and I started home. I got nervous about that. But, I mean, you know, still got 48 hours. So, the clock winds down, and I go over there. And I never told that preacher that I had never preached before. I just come sit down on the platform, had my Bible under my arm, you know.
Praise the Lord.
Necktie girded up tight. And I kind of look like a preacher. And they were a spiritual group of people. And we had a jubilee preliminaries. It went on for a long, long time. And the longer it went, the more nervous I got. And but finally, it ceased, and the preacher got up and introduced me and said, "Well, come on, preach, Brother Jack." So I just came on and preached. And when it was over, well, I gave an invitation, and we got some folks got saved. And he had invited some visiting churches over to be with us. And the pastors there invited me to preach at their churches, and it began a series of preaching. And, oh, that was 45 years ago, and he said, "Come on, preach, Brother Jack," and I just come on and preach, and I said, 45 years later, they're still saying, "Come on, preach, Brother Jack," and I just do it. Praise the Lord. Hey, please don't nobody tell me I enjoyed your sermon as I leave tonight. I don't know whether you got that or not, but I don't preach sermons. I preach the word of the Lord. I don't put that much form to it. I don't think I don't think you could rightly call it a sermon, but it's the word from the Lord, I do declare. A word from the Lord. Hallelujah. And I love all of these people that come here, too, all this singing, all this good stuff, all that good food. And I just like to be around Glenn and Irma and all of these people that like to be around them, too. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouths filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord's done great things for them. Ah, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south. He that soweth in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Hallelujah. Oh, cast your bread upon the water, and after many days, it shall return to you. And I always say when it comes back, it'll have some peanut butter on it, too. Hallelujah. What? Thanks be to God. Always gives us the increase. Hallelujah. 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 Ah, thank the Lord. I'm going to read a text here just because I want to here. Thank the Lord. All right. I'll have to kind of, this will unfold as I unfold it. I believe I'll pray for you before I do this. I thought they was going to leave this thing back against this, and I wanted it moved out. I thought I may have to get behind something up it. Well, praise the Lord. Father, just now, Lord, we have this beautiful group of people before us, this wonderful campground, Lord, and we've come expecting, Lord, let us leave rejoicing when it's over. My Lord and our God, I pray, dear Lord, that you will open our hearts of receptivity. You'll open our hearts and our minds to revelation, O Lord. My Lord, for we are determined to be a people that will never be satisfied with just status quo religion, O Lord. My Lord, we are a people that would like to seek out the deep things of God and learn a little here, a little there, and a little the next time. Great God, I pray that you'd open our spirits of receptivity, bind our spirits of criticism, O Lord, and let us flow together in the river of life. And we'll be most grateful to you, Heavenly Father, for we love you with all of our heart. All right, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. All right, now the garden was in Eden. The garden wasn't all of Eden, but it was in Eden. All of Eden wasn't in the garden, but all the garden was in Eden. And man, and he puts us in there, and he gets this man to tend the garden, to dress it. And in the verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And then the Lord God made him a helpmeet and so on. And finally comes the serpent and beguiles Eve, and the fall is in motion. And after Adam and Eve had fallen, and God came looking for them in the garden, they had made some discoveries that they were unclothed, naked, and they were ashamed because sin had now entered into the universe. And so the Lord made haste here. And unto he made them some skins, some clothes out of skins. This is the first hint of the innocent dying for the guilty. It is the first indication of a blood sacrifice, of a blood atonement. Hallelujah. It comes across ever so slight, but it is an indication to that. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us. Did I tell you where I am? 3:22. One of us to know good and evil. Now lest he put forth his hand, take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man. He placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And may I pause here long enough to say that ever since then, man has an inherent desire to come back to the Garden of Eden, to come to the tree of life that is in the paradise of God. But God had known that, so he put these cherubims with the flaming swords to guard the only entrance to the only tree of life at the only garden of paradise. I'll be back here after a while, and we'll pick this up some more. Hallelujah. He eat of the tree of knowledge, but he never eat of the tree of life. Had he eaten of the tree of life, God said he could have lived forever in a sinful state. But when the command was given to him, there was no command that he couldn't eat of the tree of life. He could have eaten of the tree of life first. And then he would have had life, eternal life. But that wouldn't satisfy the plan of God while Adam was innocent, but he was innocent inasmuch as he'd never been tried, never been tempted. God wanted a man like Adam that could oversee his whole universe, all of his creation. He wanted a man that he could give dominion over all of his creation, all of his universe. And he wanted him to be somewhat like Adam. But this man would have to be innocent after having been tested and tried and pressed and jailed and oh my! It would take some time for God to reestablish this. You remember the disciples came to Jesus on that memorable occasion and said, "Lord, will you now bring Israel to the front? And we want to do something about them Romans." And little did they know that he had a plan that would do that, but it would take 2,000 years to get it all geared up and going good. Now, I marvel at how the Lord has led me. I do. I came up through the old order, the old school, and I got all of its teachings. And, hey, it's been profitable to me, and I do not criticize them. I appreciate them, but they taught me some things that were contrary to what I learned here. They taught me to get ready to die, and the book was telling me to get ready to live. Hallelujah. And they taught me to get ready to go, and the book was telling me to get ready to stay. They taught me to get dressed for a flight, and the book told me to get ready for a fight. I kind of got confused. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Doesn't it seem ridiculous, really, to say I went in the war when I was, well, I joined the army when I was 16. I went right to England, and I began to prepare for. I joined a special unit and began to prepare for the invasion. And for 13 months, we trained vigorously. I mean vigorously. And I made 3 sachets across the channel and into France and made contact with some underground people over in France, or it would be beneficial to us. And I had their, I knew names and locations, and I didn't have any of it on paper. I had it all up here.
I must not put it on paper, but I must retain it in my memory. And then besides those sachets, which were very dangerous, had I gotten killed on one of them, nobody would have claimed me. The French wouldn't have claimed me. The American Army sure wouldn't have claimed me. And, hey, wouldn't have been nobody to claim me. Well, then we trained vigorously and was in tip-top shape. No, you see these signs on cookies said fat-free? Well, when I went in, I didn't know whether to put fat-free across my back, on my jacket, or liberator. I settled on liberator. It's the same in all languages that I know about, liberator. We were ready to go, and it's time to go. Now, wouldn't it have been a foolish thing for the branch to have sent the word, hey, all of them guys that's so ready, get them ready to put them on the Queen Mary in the morning and send them home. I mean, they trained us to fight, and now they're going to, hey, well, that's what the church teaches. I'll come back to this and shake it a little more. That's what the church teaches. They get us ready to get matured. Who cares to get matured if all you're going to do is live in paradise all your life? And you know, we used to think that the thousand-year reign, we'd just hang our feet in the river and fish, and if we like to fish, whatever. Nobody ever told me that they called it a thousand years of peace. A thousand-year reign with Christ. Of course, some of those terms are right, but some of them are a little bit misleading. And I learned that by the book. And I don't hesitate to tell you that some of the things I teach, I got as direct as Paul did get his. Well, you know how Paul got his. He got it direct. Well, some of the things, not all, but some of the things that I teach, I got it directly from him. Nobody hinted it to me. Nobody suggested it to me. I just read the book and sought the Lord. Say, I've been blessed of the Lord to 4 hours sleep's way plenty for me in 24. I can make it on two. And I took advantage of that and I studied the Word and I prayed. And some of the best revelation I ever had was about 3 o'clock in the morning out in my study. And I just would get in touch with the Lord and he'd expound this stuff for me. Actually, I don't say to you that I heard him speak vocally, but he spoke to me through impression. I knew what he was saying. Say, it wasn't no trouble to get a line out at 3 o'clock in the morning. There ain't too many people in Beckville trying to get one through at that time of the morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, all right. Now, I only said that because I'm going to come back and shake this some more if I get around to it here. I may never get around to it. I don't remember what I said there. All right. Now, let me shake this thing a little bit more about the Adam wanted to get back in the garden, but he never was permitted to go back there. But there is that inherent being within us that wants us to come into the presence of God. It's in all of us. Some don't know what it is, and others know quite well what it is. But whether they know what it is, they're searching for something. And they can never be content because they're always looking for something over the next hill. And they don't know what it is. They imagine a lot of things. But deep is calling unto deep. Hallelujah. And God is wanting them to reach into Him. And they are wanting to do it. Man always wanted to get back there. And so in Moses' tabernacle in the wilderness, he had an ark in there. He had a tent with the holy place, with the outer court, the holy place, and the holiest of holies. And in the holiest of holies is where the ark was. And that was the presence of God. That was as near the tree of life that was barred in the garden as man would get for a long, long time. And just any man couldn't do that. The ones that could do that were a very select group, and they could only enter there once a year. Out of 360 days, there was just one day that the high priest could go behind that veil. And when he went behind that veil, he was in the presence of the Almighty God. He was standing under the tree of life, if you please. And he would make an atonement for himself, and if God accepted that, then he would make an atonement for all of Israel, and God would roll all their sins forward for a year. Hallelujah! He didn't cover them, for there had been no covering given yet. There was only a token. No covering had been given, so he couldn't cover them with that blood that will wash away and cover all of our sins. But he could roll them ahead a year at a time until they brought a lamb to Calvary. Hallelujah. Amen. And so he purposed to do that. I don't know if all of you have heard me say, so I must say it again, that I expect to walk into life. I want to walk into life. That is, well, let me say it plain. I don't want to die. I want to live. Hallelujah. But I'm not afraid of death. And I'm not declaring to you that I will walk into life while yet in this tabernacle. But if the timing's right, I will. Now, if, hallelujah. But if I don't, you know what's going to happen to me? I'll be one of the in-Christed. You know what the in-Christed is? Hey, and the Lord gave me this. I never heard nobody separate the in-Christed from salvation. Never heard nobody even hint at it. And the Lord and the Scriptures wouldn't make reason with me. And I entreated the Lord. Well, I entreated the elders first, and the pastor, and many others that I appreciated and respected and thought they were knowledgeable. And they were knowledgeable. They just didn't know about the in-Christed. And I said, this is how it started with me. We had an elder that he would, often, they'd stand up and just give a testimony. And he would quote this, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." And I said to him, "Brother Roy, I hadn't, you always quoting that, and I read it in the Bible, but I hadn't, hey, old things ain't passed away from this man, and all things hadn't become new." Well, I had just gotten saved at that time, reclaimed, and he said, "Well, Brother Jack, you need the Holy Ghost, and you get the Holy Ghost." So I got the Holy Ghost. Yeah. I was seeking the Holy Ghost then, but then I got seeking it double time. And I got it right soon. And I watched myself about a week and found out that, hey, it ain't happened. What's the matter with me? And old things hadn't passed away, and old things hadn't become new. And I approached him again. He didn't hardly know how. Well, he said, "You have to do it by faith." Well, I'll buy that sometime. So I was praying one night, and I was reading. I had the Bible open on it, and I said, "Lord, I don't understand this. Now, you say here that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And it hasn't happened to me." And the Lord whispered to me and said, "Notice the in-Christed." So I looked, And I said, well, I see it. I was just saved. I had Christ in me, which is the hope of glory. But that wasn't enough to get rid of all of these old things. But what will be enough is when I become in Christed, when I'm in Him, when I am absorbed by Him, and I am in Christ. When you see more Christ than you do me, I will become in Christed. There are many scriptures that speaks of the in Christed, and I made a study of it. And oh, what a blessing it was to my spirit and to those that I taught series that series. The in Christed. All right? Now, if I want to walk into life, if I'm alive when the Lord comes, Thessalonians, Paul tells us he's coming, if I'm alive at that time, I'll just walk into life. Won't go by the way of the grave. But if I should go by the way of the grave before, and the only reason I went by the way of the grave was that my time slip come up. The end of this is in His timing. And if He seemed fit to take me out, and there was nothing between me and Him that would have kept me from walking into life had He come at the time that He took me, then when that first resurrection comes, when that moment comes, I'll rise up with Him. I'll come with Him. Somebody said, you know, there's always been those that question, won't know what each one do. Who is Him coming back with Jesus? I said, well, I don't know, but I tell you what, if you can stick around till I go, and I go by the way of grave, I'll tell you who one of them is. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to the Lord. Ah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the in Christ. So man wanted to get back to the garden. He wanted to eat of that tree of life. Adam could have eaten of it any day, but he didn't. That was his error. God knew he was going to do that, you know. But God had a plan. And, hey, if you can receive it, we were in that plan. We haven't just gotten into it. We've been in it a long time. Jesus said, my sheep follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. And there's no man that can pluck them out of my hand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So then they had the Holy of Holies. And then in the Israel, they had the cities of refuge, which was that would get you safety from your avenger. And is a picture of the living God, Christ. In Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the Word that was made flesh. But religious people seen Him and didn't know who He was. Say the Pharisees, they just eat up the scriptures that turn, if somebody smites you on one cheek, turn the other. They love that. And if somebody pushes you to carry a pack a mile, carry it another one. Return always good for evil and, oh, what beautiful philosophy it was, and how they embraced it. What a religious establishment they built around those things. And when one day Jesus stepped right out of that book as big as life, hallelujah, He was life itself, and He was the Word that they had fallen in love with. Hallelujah. They could love it as long as it was just in print. But when He steps out there, hallelujah, and begins to walk before them, hallelujah, putting these things into practice, they said, this is too hard for us. They could not accept Him. And so they turned from Him back to their traditions. And Jesus said, hey, you're making the Word of God of none effect by your traditions. But they would long love their traditions better than they love Jesus. Hallelujah. And then, too, the Jews had a form of worship. They had all these ceremonies, you know, that they did. Lighting the candles, bringing in the showbread, and burning incense at the golden altar. And they relished in doing this. They loved the prestige that it brought to those that were permitted to do that. And Jesus was going to throw a block into all of that. Hallelujah. So there, no wonder they're getting ready to cry no more, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. This is too straight for us. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Now, let me see. I'm gonna, this is unorthodox, but I'm gonna do it anyhow. Here, I'm gonna read my next, textual, reference scripture, and I'm going to the 14th chapter of St. John. Everybody can quote that one. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, blessed be God forever. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus said, hey, you believe in God, why can't you believe in me? Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you. I go away to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, thou knowest, and the way thou knowest. But Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father except he come by me. Hallelujah. Now, I contend that he wasn't saying he was going into heaven and prepare for us a mansion with 14 steeples. I don't believe that he meant that at all. I think that he meant what he's saying here. In my Father's house are many mansions. But, well, you know that this word mansion could be interpreted other things besides mansion. Say, if you've seen the governor's mansion and you forgot the word mansion, what would you say? That's what I'd say, too. I'd just call it a house if I couldn't think of mansion. Wouldn't you? It's the same thing. Hallelujah. He didn't say, though, he's going to prepare for us a mansion. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. I'll be coming back to this, too. Hallelujah. He's going to prepare a place for us. Hallelujah. Well, let me shake it a little bit while I'm here. In my Father's house. Well, what is the Father's house? All right, let's turn over to Ezra chapter 6 and verse 22. And let's see what he thinks it is. Hallelujah. He ain't thinking. He knows, don't he? Praise the Lord. Wonderful Jesus. I thank God forever. Somebody, have anybody found the book? I can't even find the book. Read it to me. I can quote it, but read it. Go ahead and read it. I'll say it behind you. Kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days.
With joy.
For the Lord had made them joyful.
The Lord had made them joyful. And turned the heart of the king.
And turned the heart of the king of Assyria.
Unto them.
To strengthen their hands. To strengthen their hand.
In the work of the house
of God,
the God of Israel.
All right? That says that Israel is the house of God. I'm not... Israel, yeah. All right, I'll get to that. Galatians... I'll do it for you right now. Galatians 3 and then 29. And they that belong to Christ, they that are Christ, it says. That's a part of it. Means that you belong to Christ. You're Abraham's a seed and heirs to the promise. Israel was the house of the Lord. Now, if I was doing this on a chart, and I put my order to it, but I would draw a big circle. Well, I just might use this if I was on a chart, and I'd put the 12 tribes of Israel. I'd just put Israel here to start with, and I'd say this is the house of Israel. You know the house of Israel? Israel was divided in two portions, northern tribe, and then the tribe of Judah and Levi became the tribe of Judah. The house of Judah are the house of Israel. Then when I did this, I would mark off 12 sections in there. One of them would be the house of Reuben, Simon, and so on down. But there would be 12 houses in there, but when you looked at it as a whole, it'd just be one house. And that's God's house. That's his mansion. Hallelujah. And that's his house. And in my Father's house are many plateaus, many levels. Hear the Apostle Paul say in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and 15, in a great house, hallelujah. What's he say? In a great house there are many vessels. There is a diversity of vessels. I'm not reading, I'm paraphrasing. He says there are a diversity of vessels, and some are gold, some silver, brass, and so, hey, bottom line is some's more honorable than others. Ain't that what he says? Some is more honorable than others in this great house. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, I'm just nailing it in here now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15 is going to say, let me read here. But if I tarry long, that thou, Paul talking to Timothy, thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, what does that scripture tell us? That the church is a house of God. It's a house of which God? The living God. Hallelujah. Amen. So then, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints. And Paul goes to all lengths to tell us that we all have ministry. Every joint supplied. And some joints, he said, are more honorable than other joints. Some are more upfront. Some of the most important ones, he said, they're not even visible. They're just working. They're just activated. They're just supporting the ones up front. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God forever. I tell you, we're headed somewhere. Blessed be God forever. We're going to grow up into Him who is the head of all things of the church. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. When you speak of the church of God, unless you make some exceptions, you're speaking of the true church of God. That's a church that God accepts as His church. It will be made up of many from many different sections and different. They won't all believe alike. We hadn't come there yet where we'll all speak the same thing. But we're headed in that direction. God will bring us. Hallelujah. And if deep calls unto deep, that is, if the depth of the revelation of God calls unto the depth of your heart tonight, through your mind and heart, you will know that you are designated for sons of God. Hallelujah. And I would then advise you to pursue that calling. Hallelujah. If you're called to be a son, what should we do now? Make our calling and election sure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, it's fun. It's a great time to just watch us grow up in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, now let's turn over to Hebrews and get us a few basic scriptures here. And I like to give you scriptures for most things I'm going to say here. All right, in Hebrews chapter 3, and verse 2, who was faithful to that appointed him. He's talking about the high priest here. Well, I ought to read the first verse. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ Jesus. Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Moses had a house. What was Moses' house? House of Israel, wasn't it? But it wasn't Moses, it was Moses under God. The law wasn't Moses' law, it was God's law.
Right.
Moses was just the spokesman, all right? For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. And every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Think you can do that? Oh, yes, you can do that, saith the Lord. Yea, for I'll help you. Just make me the smallest effort, saith the Lord, and I'll give you enough sovereignty coming right from heaven. That'll make you spiritual giants, saith the Lord. Yea, follow me, and I shall lead you over, and you shall not go under. Yea, I shall make you victorious, and you shall not fail. I tell you now that I have purposed in my spirit, in my heart, saith the Lord, to gather you into my bosom, yea, and to express my love toward thee, and express my appreciation of you daring to follow the Lord. Yea, for those that would dare to go outside the lane of the commonly accepted religious systems and forge a frontier for God, God will go before you. He'll lead you every step of the way. If you shall hold on long enough, he'll give you immunity over everything that is against you, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Yea, I know that these are lofty sayings, saith the Lord, but you are raised up to be a lofty people. I shall bring thee up higher. Yea, I shall make your feet like hinds' feet. Yea, and you can scale the highest mountain. I'll let you drink from the springs of living water that gushes right out at the top of the highest peak, saith the Lord. And you shall be my people, and I will be your God, and I shall lead you over, and you shall follow me with the whole heart. Yea, and thou shalt know that it is the army of the Lord, saith God. It would be a costly mistake on your part should you assume that tomorrow will be like today and the next day will be like the next, and status quo will continue to dominate the system. For I tell you that the Lord your God is doing a new thing in the earth. Yea, he is bringing forth that is substantial out of that was frail. Yea, he is bringing forth the strong from the weak, saith the Lord. Yea, a separation is coming, and the Lord thou God will be the only one that will know, that is, with those that he has given the discernment. And God shall know who to put on the right hand and who to put on the left hand. But I shall lead you to Zion, and when I bring you to Zion, I'll give you pastors that are after my heart, saith the Lord. Yea, not pastors that are after filthy lucre, but pastors that wants to settle deep in my heart, saith the Lord. Yea, and they shall make you to grow up like fatted calves in a stall, saith the Lord. For I have spoken. Yea, and who is he that can gainsay my sayings, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God forever. I got to move faster. Chapter 8 in Hebrews and verse 8. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. A new covenant with the house of Israel. Thank you, sir. All right, he's already made covenants with it, but go make a new one. With the house, you'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel. I think that's all I want there. The Bible says of Noah that he moved by faith. Moving by faith, he prepared an ark and saved his house, whole house. Saved his family, but he calls his whole house there. All right? In my father's house, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
All right, let's go now.
To the...
Let's go to Calvary. Hallelujah. This is... Well, before we do that, let me make some mention of... You know, Jesus told... was teaching the people of Israel, Jews, that some of the good things of God. And they said, well, hey, we're children of Abraham. We've never been captivated to nobody. Matter of fact, they'd been captivated to everybody. But he said, hey, you don't seem like Abraham's children. If you were Abraham's children, you'd do the work of Abraham. Abraham didn't have any problem accepting me, but you do. They love their traditions and their ceremonies more than they loved a living salvation. Oh, there's people that that will fight you over their religious order. And if you tried to show them some life, some God life, they wouldn't have it at all. Hallelujah. If it meant crucifying the blessed Lord, they wouldn't have it. All right, here. All right, now let's go to Calvary then. Hallelujah. In Mark chapter 15 and verse 14, we read here. I'm going to praise the Lord. Oh, wonderful Lord. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse. Did I say Matthew? I meant. No, yeah, I want Mark. In Mark, chapter 15, verse 14. 15 and 14. Then Pilate said unto them, why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. Now, in the first verse, straightway in the morning, the chief priests elder consultation with the elders, scribes, and whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. Now, we're told that along in several different places that many of the priests and Levites believed on Jesus when he came through and did those miracles. They believed on him, but when they come to Calvary here and all the chips is down and it looks like that he's going to be a loser instead of a winner, and they stick with their religious order and ask for the crucifixion of Jesus. Hallelujah. And so they said, crucify him. And then in the 19th chapter of St. John, 19th chapter of St. John and verse 15, and I read here in verse 15, but they cried out, away with him, away with him. Crucify him. But Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. The chief priests answered, these are Israelites. They're supposed to be God's chosen people. They are the religious people. They are the ones that the priest, high priest, would roll the sins forward to this very incident. But now they don't recognize it. Now they're willing to crucify the Lord of glory. Peter tells them later, hey, you did it according to the pre-counsel of God. Had you known it? But they had every reason to know it. And yet they're ready to crucify the Lord. So, all right, so they go on and they crucify him. Let's turn over to St. Luke. Now, in verse 23 and 43, and here I've got to speed up a little bit. All right, in 23rd chapter of St. Luke and verse 43, Jesus said unto him, unto the thief that was hanging on the right, he said to him, this day, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Well, now, I don't believe that he was saying, today you and I will be in heaven together. But if he were saying that, I won't take nothing from it. But I sure would like to add something to it. Hallelujah. For I know what happened here. There's more happening here. There's things happening that's not at Calvary. Hallelujah. The geographical locations are not jumbled up. Things are transpiring. It's happening. Oh, praise the Lord. They put, all right, so they had their, they crucified Jesus. They said, he said, let me turn Jesus loose. I want to crucify Barabbas. He was a bad criminal. But they said, no, crucify Jesus and turn Barabbas loose. Barabbas has the distinction of being the first man ever. The first man ever to know for sure, without any shadow of doubt at all, he become the first man to know for sure that Jesus took his place at Calvary.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There may be many of us as sure now that he took our place, but he became the first to know for sure. He's hanging on my cross. Hallelujah. It was designated for me, but Jesus is being hanged on it. He became the first man to know for sure. Hallelujah. I don't know what happened to him after that, but who knows? Hallelujah. Because things were happening. All right, now, so they put Jesus to death, and what did they do? In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. They had crucified the Lord that had made a new covenant with them. They had crucified the Jehovah God that delivered them out of Egypt's bondage. They had crucified El Shaddai, the great providing God. They had crucified God. He was the fullness of the Godhead, bodily. Hallelujah. God was hid in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. They loved their traditions more than they loved him. All right? So they crucified their God. They crucified their own hope. And just, let's turn to St. Matthew now, 27. Hallelujah. In St. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51. And behold, when all of this was transpiring, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and rocks rent. The temple, the veil in the temple was rent. God reached down and tore it from the top to the bottom, thus signifying that there was no more holy of holies. Hallelujah. Amen. What would they do now? Where will you go now? You've just crucified the holiest of holies. You've crucified him that delivered you from Egypt's bondage. Hallelujah. You've crucified the all-providing God. Where will you go now?
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Now I invoke chapter 14 of St. John. Let not your... Jesus said, in effect, you did it, but don't be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions, and you have given up your place in God, but I'm going to go and prepare another place for you. I'm going to... You lost your only hope. You crucified your only hope, but I'm going to provide you another hope. Hallelujah. I'm going to bring you into a better covenant. Hallelujah. And the graves burst open. Hallelujah. And some of the saints were resurrected and went into the city and was recognized by many. And when Jesus came out of the grave and went up, they went up with him. And when he comes back, they'll come back with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh. All right. So, now, when this happened, we go back to the garden now, and Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And then he said, it's finished. And when it was finished, the honor guard that had been guarding the tree of life since Adam had fallen was dismissed. Hallelujah. And the gate was left wide open. Hallelujah. Any man, woman, boy, or girl, no matter color, creed, or race, hallelujah, anytime I could make an approach to the tree of life and eat of the fruit thereof and live forever. Hallelujah. 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 He fixed it. Hallelujah.
He fixed it.
Yes.
You see that bumper sticker says, you may not see that one. It may not be national wide, but around home, this bumper sticker says, Fuji fixed it. Well, I don't know who Fuji is, but and I don't know what he fixed, but I know who God is, and I know what he fixed. He fixed it for us. Hallelujah. When they had destroyed their last hope, he gave them a better one. Oh, praise God forever. Hallelujah. And that's what he's doing for us even now. Hallelujah. Saith the Lord. Oh, yes, indeed. Hallelujah. The wilderness and solitary places shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy. And the glory of Lebanon shall be given to them. The excellency of Carmel and of Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands. Confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, our God will come with vengeance, even God with recompense. Our God will come and save us. Then shall the blind eyes be opened, and the deaf ears unstopped. The lame man shall leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing, and in the wilderness shall waters break forth, and springs in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And in the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and an highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called a way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sadness and sorrow shall flee away. Hallelujah! 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 Oh, praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Oh, glory. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, praise God forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, O Lord, for your wonderful goodness to us. You're from everlasting to everlasting. You've been a stronghold and present help in every time of trouble. Oh, my Lord and our God. Praise the Lord. Agnes, thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I see the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord was ministering to you. The Lord would say unto thee, yea, I'm enlarging your habitation. I'm enlarging your dwelling, saith the Lord. Yea, I am enlarging your ability to receive of my word. Yea, I am opening up revelation to thee. Yea, for thou shalt go in and out. Yea, and thou shalt say the word of the Lord, and say it again, and then say it again. Yea, and thou shalt not be intimidated by none. Yea, for the Lord thou God shall stand by your side. Yea, and he shall strengthen you in the power of his might, saith the Lord. And thou wilt have no need to fear, for the glory of the Lord shall rest upon you, saith the Lord. Go forth rejoicing, for the Lord, yea, has made you strong. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Sister, give me your hand. Would you stand, please, so I can't stretch that far. Thank you. What's your name?
May.
May? May I see the glory of the Lord on you. Did you, spirit of revelation opened up to you. Hallelujah. Yea, I tell you now, May, that you understood some things tonight that you didn't understand with just this mind of yours. Yea, it came through there, but it come right to your heart.
right into your spirit, and you knew of a truth, yea, that you were hearing the truth. And you have reason to rejoice, yea, for when you know the truth, you know what it will do. It will set you free, and I'm setting you free from your troubles, from things that have tormented you, yea, from things that have been worrisome to you. I'm going to begin an eradication of all of them, yea, and I'm going to set you free, and make you happy, saith the Lord. Believe me, and live, oh, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the lovely Lord Jesus for his wonderful goodness toward us now. Oh, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. My brother, what is your name?
Peter.
Peter? Brother Peter. Praise the Lord. Well, hallelujah. Well, Peter, I just notice you. The Spirit kind of draws me towards you. Yay. The Spirit draws me towards you. And the Spirit would say to you that I have read off your heart tonight, saith the Lord. I read you. I read your mind, yea, and I have driven some truth deep into your spirit, yea, and you'll write them down and jot them down and refer to them often, saith the Lord. Yea, for they that love the Lord often make mention of the things that bear great remembrance in their heart and in their spirit. I tell you now, my son, if you'll walk with me, you will never have reason to be sorry. For I'll bring you to Zion with a shout, saith the Lord. Yea, I'll bring you rejoicing, and I'll keep you rejoicing. Yea, if you'll just tune your heart toward me and seek me first above all things. Yea, I tell you now, the Lord will freely give you all things, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, and is even now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Yes. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers, things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. There are many things can separate us from fellowship with God, but nothing can separate us from his love. Hallelujah. If you turned your back on him, he'd still love you. He'd still love you. He could have no fellowship with you, but he'd still love you. Hallelujah. Oh, his love is unsearchable, beyond finding out. Great is the God of this universe. Praise the Lord, Brother Doc. I enjoyed that good teaching you did this day. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Pray, and the blessings of the Lord be on. I impart blessing from the Lord. What is your name?
Mary.
Mary? That's a beautiful name, Mary. I impart blessings from the Lord on you. Yea, if you give as much as a glass of water to a prophet, yeah, you'll get a prophet's reward. You just gave a handkerchief to an apostle. You're doing an apostle's reward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God forever. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My good friend. Gave me some paintings that he did there last year. I guess it's been about 2 years ago now.
Hallelujah, that's right.
And this is his wife. Praise the Lord. My heart goes out to these people. And these people that are with them here, they just found a place in my heart. I believe I'll just invoke choice blessings for you from heaven. Choicest blessings from heaven I invoke on you. Let the Lord choose the blessings, but get the choicest ones, Lord. And I invoke them to this five people here, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, great God. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What is your name? I know you, but...
What?
Shauna?
Donna.
Donna.
Oh, Donna, yes. That's a beautiful name, Donna, huh?
Beck.
Donna Beck. Well, Donna, I see you've been taking notes. Praise the Lord. You probably intend to refer to them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, the Lord would say it's good that you take notes. And the Lord would say just make it a could and chew it over and over and over and over in your mind. And yea, and let it be absorbed in your system. Yea, and it shall give you life untold. Yea, life and energy. I will energize you, saith the Lord, by the living word of God. You shall be energized. Yea, and you shall go forth with the strength and energy that you have not known thus far, saith the Lord. It's a good day that you've come before the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is your name, dear?
Tammy.
Tammy. Well, that's all of these names do very well, don't they? Praise the Lord. Oh, the hand of the Lord is on you, Tammy. My Lord, the blessings of the Lord be with you. You are being enlarged even in this meeting, saith the Lord. Yea, you'll see things already you have, but you'll see things you haven't seen before. You'll hear words of truth that you haven't heard before. Let them sink deeply into your heart and spirit, Tammy, and they'll make a way of life for you. Yea, that will lead you into success. I mean success that will make you happy, saith the Lord thou God. For the Lord wants a joyful people.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thanks be to God forever. Oh, praise the Lord. Tommy Cook, praise the Lord. Now, my good friend, Tommy Cook. I was noticing you here. I seen the angel of the Lord come around, kind of flutter around you there, like he wanted to leave you a blessing.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord would say unto you, yea, that your mind and your heart, spirit has heard great things tonight.
Oh, yes.
But being a prophet yourself, you know the truth of it, saith
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Yea, being a scribe as well as a prophet,
yes,
yea, you have written many of these truths.
Yes,
yea, and many more are in the making.
Hallelujah.
I say unto you, just keep shelling them out.
Amen.
Yea, keep publishing the goodness of God.
Amen.
And the word of the Lord, and great shall be your reward.
Hallelujah.
Yea, for you shall be a faithful prophet in the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
Yea, and none shall intimidate you.
Hallelujah.
None shall withstand you.
Yea,
every time the enemy comes in like a flood, I'll lift up a standard
Hallelujah.
That will eradicate, yea, and cause them to flee. They come one way, they flee seven
Amen.
Ways, saith
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
1,000 at the right, at your side, and
yes.
10,000
yes.
at your right hand,
Amen.
Saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You are a conqueror,
Thank
and
you,
let no let there be no mistake about it,
you,
saith
Jesus.
The Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My brother, what is your name?
John.
Brother John. We got John, Peter, anybody, Paul here? Praise the Lord. Brother John from Canada. Praise the Lord. Well, I seen the glory of the Lord on you. And your this your wife? And your wife. And the Lord would say that your ears have heard good noises tonight. Yea? And the Lord would challenge you to have those scriptures, run them back through, let them be absorbed in your system until you know that it is the truth. Yea, for it is the word of the Lord. And in so doing, the Lord has opened up your spirit of revelation. Yea, expect that when you read the word from this on, and I say this to you, my dear, as well, when you read the word from henceforth, revelation will come through that word. Yea, and you will learn and know, and it'll be profitable to you. Believe me, saith the Lord, the day comes when you will need to know these things, and you'll need to know how to be equipped with them and how to work under the influence of them, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord forever. Oh, thank God forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. When our blessed Lord came, he came with many marks on him. Isaiah put 27 identifying marks on him in one chapter. He must have had, I've never counted them, but he must have had hundreds or thousands of identifying marks on him. That he would have to walk out. He would have to walk until they were fulfilled. Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, that when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of his peace was upon him. By his stripes we were healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, turned every one to his own way. You know, the Bible says the devil's accusing the brethren all the time. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, turned every one to his own way. And the devil said, hey, you heard that, didn't you, Lord? What are you going to do about it? The Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, but he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? He was taken up from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living. And for the transgression of my people was he stricken. Hallelujah. Well, 27 identifying marks. He poured out his soul unto death. He gets numbered with the transgressors. Bears the sins of many. Hallelujah. And the Father said, I will divide unto him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Who was it said? Was it somebody here this morning? Was it, or this evening said that the soul is a mind, emotion, and will? Oh, that was you, wasn't it, God? Mm-hmm. He has poured out his soul unto death. Mind, emotion, and will. Not my will, Father. But thy will be done. Oh, glory to God. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, great and merciful God. Oh, mighty God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Shall I dismiss them, Glenn? Let's all give the Lord a great big praise. And we'll be dismissed in the name of Jesus and to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See you in the morning.
This is the word of the Lord that came during the praise and worship time in the early part of the service.
My, how pleased I am with your praise and worship unto me, saith the Lord. You give me great joy. And even now as I walk amongst you, to touch you, to heal you, to strengthen you, to encourage you, all I ask is you just open up and receive that which is already given to you. Receive my blessings, saith the Lord, for I have abundant blessings to give to you. They're yours. Yes, I would say unto you, as you lift your hands to me in praise and worship, as you lift your voices to me in praise and worship, what a joy it is to see people, to see you people, worshiping and praising your God. And I encourage you, be free from timidity. Be free. Don't allow yourself to be in bondage to timidity. I love you. And I say again, I love you. Allow that love to flow into you and to flow out from you. Oh, how I long for you to just allow me to live my life within you and to flow from you to others. My heart is grieved for all that I see going on. And I need many, many soldiers in my army. I have a need, saith the Lord. And I called you. And I called you out of darkness into my marvelous light. And I would ask you to walk in that light. And fulfill ye my joy, so that your joy runneth over, saith the Lord.
Behold, saith the Lord, even this night, mercy will always rule judgment, saith God. And my power and my anointing will break every yoke of bondage. I say to you that are washed by the blood of the Lamb, walk no longer in guilt and shame. I, the Lord your God, have set you free. There I say to you, there is no more judgment unto you. If you come boldly to the throne of grace, you shall obtain mercy. And I will wash again and again, says the Lord. For the fountain of my blood has come, says the Lord. And it will gush out again, says the Lord. I say to you, the spirit of guilt will not condemn you any longer. For I have cleansed you and made you right, says the Lord. And you are my righteous ones, even this hour. I say to you, some of you have prophesied the word, and yet it has not seemed to get a hold of your mind. But I say to you, the anointing of my spirit shall arise within you, and my mind shall prevail over you, and the word shall prevail over you, and the word that I have sent, says the Lord, even afar off, and it touches not only you, but it'll touch even those around you, and it'll call into the kingdom of God your families, and they shall come, says the Lord, and they shall obtain mercy, for the river of life shall flow forth out of you. I say to you, I have spoken the word in the night season, says the Lord, and the bondages that have come will fall by the wayside. I am the Lord of mercy, says the Lord, and I have come this hour, says the Lord, that you might know that I have set you free, and you shall no longer say to yourself, it is a hard thing, for I, the Lord, have said to you that my grace is sufficient unto you, and I will speak a word even this hour, says the Lord, and the chains that bind shall fall by the wayside, and I will cause the scales to fall from your eyes, says the Lord, and the chain that binds your spirit and your mind shall fall, says God, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken a word unto you, and in the night season, says the Lord, my song shall be in your spirit, and you shall know that even in my presence, says the Lord, the demonic forces shall flee, and there is no devil, no demon, says the Lord, that can hold you. I say to you, as it is written, says the Lord, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the Most High. And I say to you that I have anointed you with power, and I have called you, says the Lord, that you might walk in that anointing, that you are full of my power, says the Lord. I have given you the keys to the kingdom. I say to you, walk in authority. You are my kings and my priests. I am your Lord. Hallelujah. Oh.
And my mouth filled with praise. Hallelujah. bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Open the gates that the righteous may with Jesus rest. Hallelujah. It shall be. Open the gates that the righteous may with Jesus rest.
Website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.